It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Broadcasting from the Golden Spread of Texas, this is The Fred Hughes Show. With each episode, we introduce to you an inspiring person or message to help you grow and unlock your potential in life. I'm Fred Hughes, professional photographer, pastor, teacher, author, and your show host. Thank you for joining us, and welcome to this episode brought to you by the Faithful Partners of Decision Ministry. My lovely guest for tonight is Stacy Hand, and I'm excited to introduce you to Miss Hand because she's a dynamo. We get to hang out with her at a church that we go to, and we love Messiah's House, and we minister together, and we just like, if you have watched our program earlier, well, then you've probably seen Dr. Shane, that's her husband, and he has been on this program and worked with us before, and so we're just excited about having her tonight. And so I'm going to kind of open up this beautiful picture of her and introduce you to her, and we're going to just get started tonight. So I'm going to kind of pass the baton to Miss Stacy Hand.
Hi, Fred.
Something about who you are.
Hello, Fred. I'm Stacy Hand, and my husband is Dr. Shane Hand, chiropractor here in Amarillo. And I was a school teacher for 7 years until we could afford me at the office. And now I help my lovely, fearless co-leader with me, Suzanne. Hello, Suzanne, who's watching. We run the front desk, we're janitors, we do everything at the office. I am also known as Mama Hand. The Lord has made me mama to many, and that is the sweetest thing, you know, for me. We do have two children, Hunter, who's 25, he lives in Denver and is a successful business salesman. And then our daughter, Hayden, is 23, and she is in chiropractic school. Hello, Hayden. And she's driving in to Rio Dosa this weekend with her boyfriend, Kyle, and his family for vacation. So they're listening also. But she's in chiropractic school and will be graduating next April. And we're super excited about that, to have her here. And I just appreciate you having me on, Fred.
Well, thank you for being here. I got to see your daughter make an adjustment on a horse on Facebook.
Yes.
The other day. I mean, so
the animal chiropractic stuff, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is really neat.
It is.
It's
amazing.
She looked like you know, her daddy does that stuff, and I'm going like, oh, yeah, she can get in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's, cool. You know, we've always told our kids that our ceiling is their floor. Uh-huh. So however far we can go, we've fought through the muck and everything to get where we are. So that's our ceiling is their floor, and we want them to do way better things than we did.
Absolutely. Isn't that good?
We
always want our, you know, more and better for our kids than what we have had.
Amen.
And I think every generation dreams that dream.
Amen.
And wants to have that. Yeah. Sometimes we may go overboard.
Well, it's because we know what we came out of, too.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, how about our Heavenly Father? You know, he goes overboard with us completely.
Amen.
And yet, you know, hey, it's cool.
No, it is. It's so good. It's so good. And then when grandkids get involved?
Yeah, we have two.
Yeah, you get a little.
I know we have four grandkids.
Yeah, you have four grandkids, and then it gets even more fun. So
yes, it does.
I love it. Can I pray us in? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this amazing evening, Lord, and we thank you for people all over the world that get to hear your message, Lord, through Fred and through his weekly videos, Lord, and we just thank you for the knowledge and wisdom you've given him to be able to do this with this amazing setup, And I just thank you that I'm here this evening, and I just pray that your words come out of my mouth, Lord, and everything that you want said from me tonight that can impact these people to be said. In your son's precious name, amen.
Amen.
So, I'm here to interview you. No, just kidding. That'd be way easier, wouldn't it? The Lord, he always gives me pictures when we're praying with people up front or whatever. Shane prays over. He's more the healer. Yeah. He's more that way with them. And then the Lord gives me a picture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, no, Lord, I'm not going to tell him pink fluffy cupcake. I'm not going to do it. And the Lord's like, you're going to tell him. And then you do. And they cry and they know, and they, you know, it meant something. So it's sweet. But the Lord gives me pictures. So one thing he's been working with me lately is about not picking up other people's offenses.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have any experience in that area.
Yeah.
You know, but he has. Acts 24:16, because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and all people. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without any offense till the day of Christ. I'm a helper. I'm a mama. I have a big mama heart. So this one has been really tough for me over the past couple of years. And I really want to protect people and defend them. And I want justice,
yeah,
right, from God. You're like, come on now. You know, Lord, can you Deuteronomy 28 them, like, right now?
Vengeance part.
No, but you're like, no, and it's all the Lord's. It yeah. is, you know, but you're like, okay, God, come on. You got this. You got it. Come on, today would be great. So it is. There's a thing. But I discovered I can only pray for them, love them, and help guide them through what happened, but I can't personally carry it. So I've had to learn to ask myself, am I affected? Am I offended? Or am I just triggered? A seducing spirit will try to come in and seduce you into a place of being offended by something that didn't even actually affect you. Mm-hmm. It affected someone else. And because you pick up the false responsibility of someone else's offense, you walk around in offense, even though you have no reason to be offended, Fred.
Yeah.
Then you actually give over your power and authority that God gave you over to the spirit of seduction. The Lord showed me the other day, we were praying for some people. I've had this one, this same kind of picture several times with people when we've prayed, but it's like you're in the airport and you're at the baggage claim and there is luggage everywhere, right? And there's 95 black bags to 2 pink and 1 yellow, right? Mm-hmm. And the Lord's like, don't pick up what's not yours. Is that yours? Is that yours? Is that yours? And it's sort of humbling to sometimes know that he says, don't even pick up that one. You're like, but that's mine. He's like, no, you got that, you know? So have you ever dealt with that?
Oh yeah.
You're like, mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, you wrestle with those kinds of things with, I don't know, offenses are easy to pick up because if you love somebody and you care about somebody and then you see them attacked, or you see some just injustice, some
injured,
you know,
hurt,
just fall down, and it looks like they've just done everything right, and you want to help them, but you can't.
Right.
And it's really easy to pick up somebody else's trouble, pick up their offenses,
mm-hmm.
pick up their disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a whole ram of things that you can pick up on that somebody else's. You know, and you just can't do that. You're not really made to carry those burdens.
Right.
So when we learn how to cast our care on our cares on Jesus, and you know, that's what we need to help them understand. But
right.
Like you said, we've got to do it.
We
sometimes
do.
It's really hard for us not to.
It's true.
Get into that.
It's true. Another thing is expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And the dictionary has it as the act or state of expecting, looking forward to, or anticipating a prospect of future good or profit, or the degree of profitability that something will or will not occur. There's little expectation of him coming for Thanksgiving,
yeah.
or, you know, of the sort. So expectations in the world equal devastation, and expectancy in him is equals manifestation. Like, he think good things are going to happen. Is someone bothering you? Is it actually their behavior, or is it your own expectations and what you think should happen?
Oh, good question.
So in the last 2 or 3 years, the Lord has really tried, and I could try to catch myself all the time, but has given me like to take the word should out of my vocabulary, because should implies that I think something should happen. In anything, well, that shouldn't have, well, why would, that shouldn't have happened, or they shouldn't have acted that way here. And that's a daily one. So a few years ago, the Lord started working on me about expectations, and that all of my disappointments and frustrations are because of my expectations of others and everything around me. It was about control. So any, have you ever dealt with that control? Like wanting to, yeah. I thought I knew what was best for everyone in every situation, in all of the situations. And when you actually sit back and take notice of your expectations, you will be shocked that you have them about everything. The Lord with me, he was really clear to go in with no expectations, but with full expectancy that things would be amazing and that it would be the way he has them planned. And to let go of everything and what it should look like. You know, our kids, our business, all the things. And that's not easy, especially with the last couple of years, the way things have looked. It didn't look anything like any of us thought it should. You know, so that threw everybody.
Yeah, so many limiting factors, you know, that are beyond your control. And so the frustration wells up because you can't, you know, make it happen. You can't move it into place sometimes. And sometimes it's genuine. It's love. It's the love of Jesus welling up in you and your compassion wanting to flow out. It just seems like, you know, somebody's out there shooting it with his BB gun, you know?
Yeah, it's like a water balloon in there. Pew, pew. Yeah. No, that's exactly how it feels. And why do we grieve so hard? Deaths, relationships, etc. It's because it didn't happen the way we thought it would. We tend to believe the best in people and fall in love with their potential, not actually observing their actions and who they actually are. Our expectations are so big that others will change instead of loving or releasing them where they are. Yeah. You know, we want so much, and sometimes people just aren't there. They can't get there because we know what the Lord has for them. You know, like, oh no, the Lord has so much more for you. Don't do that.
Yeah, you can see their potential, and you want to help them.
I know. Sometimes they don't want it. We used to have a friend named Katie, and she passed away, but she used to come into our office, and she would just listen to the Lord and randomly talk to people, and ask them what was going on, and just prophesy over them, and it was so, so sweet. But she always said, "Well, that's no surprise to him. Well, he's not surprised." No surprise to him.
That is a good
and so
one.
I try to remember that when things happen, you know, good or bad, like he totally knew that was coming.
That's awesome.
You know, so then it, I don't know, it takes, a, I don't know, it's comforting knowing that when something bad happens, he already knew it was going to happen. He's already prepared a way. Yeah. We're going to be okay. We're going to make it.
Wow.
He's been on me about not caring what others think. Because that's pride and a sin, and pride is a demon.
Yeah, man, that really gets into an easy thing, though. You get that, I think that she thinks that I thought that maybe they thought that you thought that we would do. Or and it gets so blown out of proportion.
Yep. Expectations.
And so many little fingers not lies, but just misconceptions go out there doing that. And so it just gets so blown up. And it seems like the more analytical or the more, intellectual maybe that we are, the more we tend to do that kind of stuff. You just overthink. Whereas if we, you know, really just turn to Christ and say, you know, God, give me your mind.
Well, childlike faith, because children don't have the intellect. But we get older and we think through everything and everything. Everything has to be thought through. And oh my goodness. And the Lord's like, if you'll just go, it's right there. It's right there. Right. And we're trying to take, 43 turns and left, right. And he's like, no, it was right there in your yard. Just do it. Back in 2010, we took a trip to Zambia, Africa, where our friends, the Galindos, are moving to do their mission trip. They were just on with you. Yes. They're so great. Yes. We got to see them in our office yesterday, and then they're heading out tomorrow. So,
is it tomorrow? Yeah.
Yeah. They're heading to Dallas tomorrow. And then I believe Sunday they do their two,
it was quick.
Two big old flights. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. And that, what a leap of faith, like listening to the Lord. Uh-huh. It can only be the Lord to take, mom, dad, and three kiddos across the ocean to do that. So it's sweet. And God's just going to bless their socks off. But we got to go there. And when I told Ashley, when we landed, we just felt the Lord on that land. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. It was sweet. And I'm Holy Spirit weeping. And the way the airport was, they had us get off onto the tarmac. And we had to walk in. And so, the second my feet hit that ground, I couldn't breathe. It was so sweet. And my kid, all of us were just like, wow, this is amazing. And we had a great, 13 days with the orphans we worked with and stuff. We were in groups. So you really bonded with them all week. And when we left, we're loading the plane. We're sitting on the plane. We haven't flown off yet. And I'm just like, I don't even know the feeling. But I couldn't breathe. It was like, I can't leave these kids, Lord. I can't leave them. Yeah. I can't leave them. Yeah. And I clearly heard him say in my spirit, I had them before you got here. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of them. They're not yours. And by the way, the two sitting right next to you that look just like you and your husband, they're not yours either. Yeah. I got them. And so parenting wise at that time, they were probably 11 and 13. Mm-hmm. So it was weird how it just took off pressure of that in like later years, knowing that, he had them and he loves them way more than I do, which is hard to imagine because I love my kids so much, but it is. And so, when they, growing up, they're out hike, like Hunter lives in Denver. And so he's always out hiking and skiing and all the things. And so I'm like, God, you got him.
Yeah.
You're doing all the things. Our daughter in chiropractic school drives back here, almost every other weekend probably, if not every weekend. And I just know he's got her. I have to know he's got her.
Yeah,
or I could, absolutely. Your mind could go.
I don't think anybody out there can relate to this at all.
It's true. You just have to know. It's like you just have to know. And so when all that happened, I became
every parent.
I'm telling you, I know. So you have to trust. Yes, you have to trust. You have to sleep. You have to rest. You have to know that he's got him.
This is so good.
It's so good. And so I became way more attached to people and way more, less attached to things. Yeah. And so much so that I was ready to sell our house, move in the country. We could, our big office that we love. It's, 4,000 square feet. And anybody that comes to visit that's from out of state, other chiropractors were, oh my gosh, it's so huge. Why is it so big? We're like, it's Texas. It's what we do in Texas, right? But we love it. And so I told him, I was like, we can even sell it and go rent something closer to the house. I don't even care. And he's like, stop. Stop. But that's how the Lord was with me. And so do you ever get it? Does the Lord ever give you a word of the year for you to focus on? Mm-hmm. He does. What's your word of the year?
Well, a couple of years ago, I had one that was very strong, and it was contrast was the word. And being a photographer, well, that meant something more to me than it would have other people. But contrast, what he said was coming, and it is. That was before COVID, and so I think dark is getting darker. And the stars,
lights
you don't notice
lighter.
Them during the daytime, but they're still up there and they're exactly the same place and they're as bright as they ever
were. That's good, friend.
But at night, whenever you have that darkness that comes in, it brings out that light. And the Lord just said, Christians are going to have to let their little light shine during this coming season. And so whenever God gives you a mandate like that the first of a year, it's really important to pay attention to it. It might not seem all that important, but if you'll just stew on it a little bit, think about it a little bit, and let him develop it into you. Well, it can be very meaningful, yes. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's so good. In 2019, my word was love. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I do. It's easy for me, right? And then I'm like, no, really, Lord. No, really. You're telling me to love during this. You're telling me to love during that.
Really, Stacey.
We were tested a lot in 2019 with that. And I was like, okay. So then like November, December, you know, you're like, okay, Lord, what are you wanting? What are you wanting? And but then you're kind of like, what are you going to give me, Lord? Like, I don't know what it's going to be. And it was move and grow. And so I'm thinking, we're going to build the barn dough in the country, you know, do things. No. Our associate doctor that we had for 10 years moved to Dallas. His wife got her dream job and they were so excited to do it. And he was like a little brother to Shane and a lot of man tears. And we were not prepared for that, like mentally, you know, because we love them and their family. And then Hayden was in Dallas and chiropractic school is 8 to 5 every day in class. Well, you know what hit in 2020. So she started January of 2020. First 2.5-3 months, she's in class, loving it, her friends and all the things and learning and learning. And then they shut down and everything goes online. So she comes home, which we were ecstatic about, but weird. So learning online and everything was a challenge for her. My mom had a lot of health issues and then ended up joining my dad in heaven unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I had to grieve with the orphan spirit. I had to deal with that. Yeah. But man, we moved and grew. It was different than we ever, you know, imagined it would be. But God's not surprised by any of it. He knew all of it would happen. Yeah. And it happened exactly in his time. And his ways are always so much better. And sometimes painful, but
absolutely.
But way, way better. 2021 was freedom. I was like, that's awesome. Hunter moved to Denver. We started another business, Airbnb, which was totally out of our comfort zone. But we're going to do it. And it's going great. And we have some 3 sob poodles living there right now for 5 months. So that's amazing, not having to do anything for 3 months or 5 months. But the people pleasing and the things that I had on me before fell off. Through a lot of work, you know, but that was really, really good. Hunter moved to Denver and got a great job or had a great job. And then, he got a good raise to move. And then 2 months later, he had a new job opportunity.
Wow.
And, Shane said, no, you hadn't been there long enough. Don't even look at it. Looks bad on a resume, whatever at first. And, we told Hunter to pray about it and go through the interview process. After 5 interviews, he was offered the job and he got a $28,000 pay increase. And in a 3-month period. So we had to get rid of our expectations.
Sure.
And what we grew up knowing, this world is so different. I mean, he works from home.
Yeah.
This world is so different now. He's not around people. He's a people guy. And so, you know, if he needed to be in a better situation for him, mentally, spiritually, all of it, then go. Do it. If the Lord's told you to do it, do it. We have to, that was an expectation thing for us, you know, like, when we grew up, you had to have a year on a resume or 2 or, you know, to make it look good. And the world has just changed so much. So we, you know, we learned about it. Hayden asked us if, she asked us if we expected her to come back from chiropractic school. And we're like, no, we expect you to do what the Lord tells you to. And I know she's like, I don't know about that. I know you guys have expectations. And then she was down in Dallas and was having a good time for the first 2 or 3 months. And then everything hit. She was home for, I don't know, a good 8 months. Went back. She was down there for a good month. And then she was like, I can't wait to graduate and come back. And we're like, what? Oh, that's cool. I mean, if you want to, you know, whatever. Nobody puts baby in the corner, right? So we're like, you know, whatever's good for you. So she would come in and observe Shane adjusting and stuff, and our patients would get so excited to see her, and they're like, oh, we can't wait for you to be back. And Shane, I would jump over him going, only if the Lord tells her to, only if she wants to. And after that 8 or 9 month period, she was like, oh, I can't wait to be back. And we're like, oh, no, you don't have to come back. So she's, you know, definitely excited. But we had to let her know that our expectations were totally off the board, and that it our kids have to do what the Lord tells them to do.
Yeah.
You know, they have to grow up and they have to learn from their natural and logical consequences, you know, of their actions. So Psalm 139, 16 and 17, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned before me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O Lord, O God. How great is the sum of them. He's always thinking about us. He's always thinking about us. So I have a story to tell. I don't love water. Fred, I saw Jaws when I was 5. Who lets their kids see Jaws when they're 5? I don't know. But I saw Jaws when I was 5. And it was ugly. And then we've been on 2 cruises and they were both stormy. And the whole time, and like only 10% of the people are at dinner at night because everybody's in their cabin sick. And we were the ones out there, but it was like, so I'm not a fan of water. And every time we were going on a cruise the night before, it's like Titanic's on TV or one of the Jaws or something. It's horrible. Wow. And I didn't love it. And so it was a huge fear of mine. So last year, we've been to Florida the last 2 summers. And last
Man, set, like y'all got some great pictures.
Oh, too. We did. It was amazing and tan and just sat there and loved it. But we sat on the beach every day. I love the ocean, but from the beach.
I love that.
There we are. Yes. It was so great. And we have friends, the Nashes, Debbie and Daryl, that live out there. And he's an amazing photographer. And he takes our pictures every year when we go. So we sat on the beach. It was great. I love the ocean from the beach. I am a land lover. So when we went last year, a friend of ours said they were going to go see Crab Island. Crab Island is a sandbar in the middle of the Gulf.
Yeah.
And you just go, it's 3 to 4 feet tall. And you get on a little cruise fun ship, little boat, and you go out there with a group of people. And you stand out there and you have your little cooler with your waters, your, you know, whatever you brought to drink, your chips and snacks and whatever. And so the captain of the boat is throwing you your drink, stuff you're playing. You're hanging out. You're walking around. They have food barges. Yeah. They have people selling, you know, boiled peanuts, stuff on these little boats coming around to see you. It's so cool. So I brought a picture if they can see this.
Oh, my God.
See the crystal clear water. Do you see how beautiful that is? That's what Crab Island looks like. So my crew was so excited. We were so excited to go. It was Hayden and Kyle, her boyfriend, and then Hunter came with us. So we were so excited. Well, there had been a tropical storm the week before, and the water was very murky. So we get out there, you can't see the bottom.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can't breathe. I'm like, okay. And Shane's looking at me like, you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. So we go to get off because you get in the water at this thing. So we're getting off. I can't see anything. And this picture right here is exactly what I had in my head. Do you see the shark? That's what I had in my head thinking. Yeah,
that was your expectation.
That was my expectation of what was under the 3 to 4 feet of water. You can feel things passing by you.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But you couldn't see them. Like, normally you're like, oh, it's a cute little fish. I didn't know if it was a cute little fish or not, Fred. So we get off the boat. We're standing in the water. Hayden's on a float. Hunter and Kyle are throwing a football. They're just happy as can be. Wow. There's music playing on different boats. There's people everywhere. And I get off that boat, and I'm standing there, and I can't breathe.
Oh, my God.
And Shane's, like, got his arms linked in mine. He's like, you're good. You good? You're good. You good? You're good. I'm like, I'm good. And I'm breathing, and I can't breathe. And so both my kids are like, Mom, you okay? Mom, are you okay? Because they know. So sweet Kyle is standing there, like, he's holding the ball. What happened? What's going on? What? Because he had no idea.
Oh, wow.
Because I fake well. I play well, right? Yeah. So nobody knows. And so he's like, what? What's going on? And I'm like, and all of a sudden, that's when Psalm 139 came over me. And I literally heard the Lord. I had complete peace. I heard him say, I knew you in your mother's womb. You know, your days are ordained, the whole bit. I knew it. And I had complete peace and I had a blast.
Wow.
But man, before that, it was ugly. So we enjoyed our time. I've always heard that faith without corresponding action is dead.
Yes.
So I had a choice and I had to act. Mm-hmm. So then, look how cute we are.
Aww.
But do you see the murky water? It's not blue and shiny, people. It's not crystal clear. Sorry, the glare. It's bad. It was really bad. But we did it and we made it and it was great. It changed everything for me because in that year and everything, and my mom had died, there was just a lot to that. And the Lord was like, I got you. I see you, you know, and I didn't even know it. So I also know that when things happen that the Lord knows them, it's not a surprise to him. Your days are ordained. He knows when you're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
He knows all the things and we can't question it. And it gives me so much peace. And so if we're arguing with what has happened, then we're arguing with what God already knew would happen. And when my daddy went to heaven in 2009, Hayden didn't cry, my daughter. She didn't cry at all. Mm. I'm concerned. I'm like, a few days go by, everybody's, you know, and just family and stuff, but everybody's, oh, are y'all okay? We're like, we're okay. He was really sick. It's great. But I was like, oh, my expectation was like, bless her heart. She was Papa's little girl. She's going to cry. Well, she didn't. I don't know why I'm crying. And, She looked me in the face and said, if heaven is so amazing and we all can't wait to go and that we should rejoice in this.
There you go.
Then why are you crying?
Wow.
And I was like, whew. So that's why I'm crying now, because she was just so the faith of a child.
Absolutely.
It was so sweet.
That's so cool.
You know, it was so, so sweet. When things are going on in our lives, we have to look at it and say, are we being pressed by the enemy? Are we oppressed, depressed, suppressed? You know, because we are a diamond in the making.
Yes.
And the enemy knows it. So we have to renew our mind daily to stay focused on him. Shane always tells our kids in life, in dating, in work relationships, etc. You don't know, like when you're talking about people, you don't know what a hot tea tastes like it until you put it in hot water.
Yeah.
And that's how people are. So when you're around people, be very, you know, watch for red flags and watch for the things and you just don't know. What are they going to be bitter or are they sweet in times of trials and tribulation? Let me see what else. So we never told our kids to shut up, Fred, ever. But once we learned the power of the tongue, we told them to shut their lips. And the enemy hears our words, and he uses them against us. And so we must be very careful what we come into agreement with. Matthew 18:19, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Luke 6:45, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I can't tell you, like, just in life, how many people we hear, like, my back is killing me, or my kids are driving me crazy, or different things like that. And one year, we had an assistant that worked for us for a really long time, but she actually brought in an obituary of a man that he was, like, 90 years old, and he said in that, the obituary said, his kids said, he always said that West Texas wind would kill him. And he was walking out to his mailbox on a crazy windy day and fell and hit his head on a rock.
Yeah.
And so we're like, be really, really careful what you say. There's a lady that we know that was in a situation where her young granddaughter was pregnant. And the family was just devastated, and it was hard. And she kept saying, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. You know, I'm so sick. I'm so sick. And and she's a full faith, full, you know, Holy Spirit-filled woman. And she just kept saying it. And I kept telling her, be careful with it. Well, then she ends up in the hospital at the ER. They're checking her heart.
Yeah.
And they were telling her, you know, her heart rate was high. All these things were going wrong with her heart.
Yeah.
And so she came, when I saw her the next time, she started talking like that again. And I said, I love you and you're my sister. And I know that you would hold me accountable. So I'm going to tell you right now, that's all you've spoken over yourself, you know, over the last however long, and you can't do it. And she said, thanks for reminding me. But Get you some people in your life, Fred, that can tell you to shut your lips.
Yes.
Or that can hold you accountable, because we don't realize what we're saying.
No, we don't. And we need those we need those folks to come alongside us. And because I call it the heart and the mouth connection. You know, if you what you believe in your heart,
mm-hmm.
You speak out of your mouth, and mm-hmm. that's what produces things. It's what you really believe when you say it. Well, that sows seeds, whether they're good seeds or bad seeds. You know,
yes.
I wind up kind of guarding my mouth, and that's what the scripture tells us to do is guard your heart, guard your mouth. You know, and that's I think that's. Speaks to that big time, because we just really don't realize. I mean, we're professing,
yes,
and whether we want it or not wanting it, those words are going out.
Well, and then we're shocked when those things happen.
We're speaking spirits.
I don't know where that came from. That's bad. That's not of God. You're like, well, you spoke it. Okay. And what was fun about telling our kids to shut your lips was that when they got old enough to start telling us, shut your lips. Just come around the corner like, Mom, shut your lips. And I'm like, and then you're thinking, what did I say? What did I do? And you think, and you're like, oh, I didn't mean it that way. Thank you for catching me.
The audience is wondering what you're trying to get that bird to say.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. You know what's funny about that?
That was a funny.
It says, I bite.
Oh, no.
I never saw it until later. It says, I bite. She's like 22, 23 years old, and she was at a restaurant that we went to with our friends. And she's just sitting there talking to you and stuff, and it says, I bite, and I didn't even know it. And I'm like sitting there with my face in its face talking to it. I didn't even know. And then, we're over there waiting for our table, sitting over there, and just a minute later, this little girl's over there talking to her, and she's way further back than I was.
Oh my.
And the little lady, the little hostess was like, ma'am, you need to back her up and be careful. Like, she'll put her beak through there and grab you. And I'm like, I was just there. They didn't tell me that, Fred. They weren't worried about my sweet little face. They were worried about her sweet little face. Yeah, it was a lot. So... it was fun, though.
But it is. I mean, when we try to get other people to say sometimes for their good, and I think sometimes you go back to your beginning thing about the offenses, you know, sometimes they get offended whenever you try to help them say the right thing. And then other times it'll go the other direction, you know, they'll get offended because they think you're trying to do, you know, whatever.
Yep.
You have to kind of tread lightly with it, but it's so important to have for us to help each other say the right thing.
It's true.
It really is. We need to be full of the Word of God and encouraging each other with the Word of God so that we can confess those things, keeping our mm-hmm. confession straight, keeping what we say, going the right direction is so important. I mean, what you say can kill you.
No, it's true. And now I've learned it. I'm kind of, my family will tell you, I'm kind of quick on my feet sometimes with coming back at people, like things I say back.
Yeah.
And so now when people are like, oh, that's killing me, I'm like, oh, no, you know, oh, I don't want you dying right here.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait, what? And I'm like, you just said, be careful.
Be careful.
So you can be kind of, you know.
Yeah,
I'm funny. Right. So they realize they said it,
and
but
the world helps us with that a lot. I mean, you know, you turn on one of those late night shows, and it's just all sarcasm.
It is,
and so you know, we're just the world is anxious to load us up with the wrong things to say, to get us into fear, to get us into shame, to get us into all the regions of his domain that we don't need to be in.
Right,
and so to resist what he has. For us is really important, and we need to help each other with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's
well, and you got to find we in our family we just say layers of your onion, you know, for your relationships.
Yeah.
There's layers because so there's you and God, and then there's you and your spouse, you and your little family, some of your family, right? And then it just goes further and further out until you have acquaintances.
Yeah.
And so, very few we keep our circle small. You know, and we know that that's what we didn't used to.
Sure.
And you get injured and you get hurt because it's not like a tested and true friendship or relationship. And so we tell our kids to keep the little layers of your onion small. So then, you know, the Lord protects that, you know, big time. But we have friends that will hold each other accountable, you know.
We've got to get out into the real world and get around people. But even Jesus had his, you know, intimate groups. John, the one that the Lord loved.
The wild man.
And then the three, and then, you know, and so we do need to have those really super accountable, close-knit friends. And they're the ones that really we need to work with, you know, what we say and encourage each other in what we say and that sort of thing. Because we want to be in agreement, especially with our family members, and that family unit has enough things bombarding it all the time, trying to tear it apart. And so we want to stay in agreement with things. And that's how we do that, is we remind each other, you know, is that really what you want? You know, is a good question to say, you know, when somebody says the wrong thing, well, you know, kind of challenge them a little bit with, is that really what you want? And you want me to pray for that for you?
You know? No, that's
no,
true.
No, they don't want that. You know?
Yeah, that's good.
But it does kind of give them a little wake-up call about, I need to watch what I'm letting come out of this gate here, because it's producing. It's going to produce. So it's good, yeah.
It's very true. And before I came today, the Lord told me that there would be somebody that has an issue of some sort with their right eye.
Okay. Speak right into that camera right there and talk to them.
The Lord told me on my way over here today that someone would have an issue with their right eye, and also a left shoulder that we needed to pray for. We command healing in the mighty name of Jesus. We command the retina, just every part of the iris, every part of that eye, the muscles, the tension to release. We command it to just operate the way that the Lord made it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And the left shoulder, the Lord says, stop carrying things you're not supposed to. Let him carry them. But right now we command it to line up just the way exactly all the muscles and the bones and the tissue to just line up and awaken refreshed. And also to pray for people that are exhausted and need rest. And cast your worries on him, my friends. There's no better rest than knowing he's got it. And try to get rid of your expectations and let him just take care of those things. We all have things that are going on in our lives that if we held on to them and we dwelt upon them and we meditated on those, that would injure and hurt us. So meditate on the good things. Meditate on his word. Meditate on those things that are, you know, good and holy and pure and all of the things on him, so of him, so all that can be released. So,
amen. And we have that prayer line up on the screen right now. So take advantage of that. Call in and let somebody pray with you, and just confirm Stacy's word. And I know of somebody in particular that I'm believing for that eye thing for. So,
amen.
So, you know, God doesn't, he has no distance. He can go across the world with this little podcast, and he can go right in the next room and heal a person sitting next to us. So we're so glad that God is able to do abundantly above more than we can think or imagine. And, well, I've got a good imagination. I can imagine a lot, can't you?
Yes. Yes.
He wants even more than that. He wants it
so
abundantly
good.
Above, even bigger than you can think. And so I just want to encourage everyone that's watching and listening. I really want to encourage you that love himself thinks he is in love with you. But the scripture says, you know, that God is love. And so that's his essence. That's who he is. He loves you. And as Stacy started out, it was talking about that love was one of those words that she got at the beginning of the year one time. And so, you know, every time you get a word from God, it's a rhema word. You hide it into your heart. You plant it. You let it grow up and produce. And so even if it's a simple little word, it's so big. Love is so big that it's God himself. So don't think that it's a little word, like contrast or like the love word or whatever, because it's huge. It's a word spoken to you from God. And so if that hits you whenever she was giving out those are words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and all you got to do is embrace them, receive them, and they can be yours. God wants to give you. He says he gives men gifts. And that's a gift. Mm-hmm. Those are gifts.
Amen. It's a big gift.
And so just grab hold of that. Call that little prayer line and pray with those folks. Just be glad that Jesus knows who your name. You're special. And, you know, like Stacy was saying earlier, we take the offenses and all of that. But, you know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Mm. So he'll take care of business in your behalf. And you just need to know God is for you. He's not against you. He's a good God. He's a good God.
It's good.
Stacy, thank you so much for being
here. Thanks for having me, Fred.
That was awesome.
You're awesome. Awesome. So good. Thank you.
Listen, join us again next week, next Thursday night. Every Thursday, we're right here, just best we can be. If we don't have technical problems, we show up as often as we can. So God bless you, and we'll see you later on. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the show today, be sure and get the download and the show notes that we have available for you. If you agree that this is place to be, invite your friends. Use those little buttons to connect us to your Facebook friends and others. And if you have not subscribed, do it today. Check out our free downloads. This is the Fred Hughes Show, signing off.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.